In today's Mishnah, we learn the sixth and final Mishnah from the 9th Perek of Masechta Sanhedrin, the 10th Perek. In yesterday's Mishnah, we talk about particular offences where the perpetrator of the offence was actually killed, albeit not in normal process of going through Beit Din and given a capital punishment. So we learn about other such offences where the offender meets his end, however, once again, not through the normal judicial process. So Mishnah says, "Hagoneva takasve, someone steals one of the kli hasharet, one of the utensils used in the Beis HaMikdash." According to one understanding, this is specifically the kli hasharet that was used for nisuch hamayim, for water libations. And the person stealing it was a tzduki, someone who only went by the written Torah and didn't hold by any of the oral tradition, and therefore had an interest in stealing such a kli, because nisuch hamayim, water libations, is not explicitly mentioned in the Torah. So someone who, again, steals one of the kli hasharet, or makalel, because of curse Hashem, used the name of Avodah Zarah, or Bela to Aramit, has a relationship with a non-Jewess who is involved in Avodah Zarah, idol worship, and he has a relationship befarhes in public in front of 10 men from Israel. We say, in those offenses, kana'im pogimbo, the zealots take the matter into their own hands and will kill such an individual. However, once again, this is only if it was at the time of the offense itself. If it was after the offense, then he'd simply have to take this individual to Beit Din and go through the normal process of trying such an individual. Let's continue. Konshe Shemesh Betumah, if a Kohen engaged in Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, but he was in a state of Tumah, he was impure, and such a punishment is normally Mita B'Yedei Shemayim. I mean, this is almost like a heavenly administered punishment. Explain a bit more details in a moment. Mishnah says, Ein Echav Kohanim Mevinot Al Beit Din. The other Kohanim that see this individual deliberately working in a state of Tumah don't even bother taking the Beit Din Ela Pirchei Kohana. The young Kohanim would take him outside, Watzinot Al Chutz Lazara, the courtyard of Beis Mikdash, Mefatzinot Mochor Begizrin. They'd take some planks of wood and crack his skull open. Zar, a non-Kohen Shishimesh B'Mikdash. If a non-Kohen engaged in Avodah tried to act like a Kohen in the Beis HaMikdash, we say Rabbi Akiva says it's a capital offense and his punishment is chenek. And that's learned from Gzeira Shava, from Yumat, from the case of a Navi Sheker, whose punishment is chenek. However, Chachamim Orim say they learn from a different pasuk that the punishment is actually Bidei Shemaim. This is Mita Bidei Shemaim. It's again a punishment administered from heaven. It's not something we take care of in this world. What's interesting, yesterday I touched on the concept of karet. So what's the difference is karet and Mita Bidei Shemaim, both of which appear to be heavenly met punishments that seem to shorten one's life. So one understanding is karet, the individual is punished despite the fact he's killed in this world, he receives a punishment in the world to come. However, Mita Bidei Shemaim, the punishment is only the shortening of his life in dying in this world, and that achieves an atonement for him. That's the opinion of Rambam and the Bartanur. Kati also cites Rashi, that it's actually different. Both of them actually shortening of life, both karet and Mita Bidei Shemaim. However, when it comes to karet, not only is yamav nichotim, it's also holech ariri, which means that he's left childless. Now let's begin the 10th perek. Mishnah begins, Kol Yisrael yesh lahem chelek le'olam haba, that every single Jew has a share in the world to come. Actually, le'olam haba means to the world to come, but I think we discussed in Mishnah Yom HaMadah, I call that nuance there. The question is, what is olam haba in the context of this Mishnah? We've got a debate. Kati cites two opinions very briefly. Bartanura says this refers to the time after Tchiyat HaMetim, after the resurrection of the dead, whereas the Rambam explains that this is referring to the world of the neshamas after someone dies. So every single Jew has a share in olam haba, or le'olam haba. And what's this based on? Shem haba amech kulam tzadikim, your nation all righteous, l'olam yushu'at, they'll inherit aretz. Netzer meta'ai, the branch of my planting, ma'asei yadai litpa'ar, my handiwork in which I take pride. So the idea is, yushu aretz, the first for eretz ha'chaim, so l'olam haba. Having said that, Mishnah says, well, actually, elohem she'ein lahem chelek l'olam haba. There are particular individuals, by way of their actions, or their thoughts and their munah, by being kofir, by denying some of the fundamentals of faith, they end up losing their share. What are they? Ha'omer ein tchiyat ha'metim in the Torah, someone who denies the fact that there is resurrection of the dead. That is such an individual who loses his chelek olam haba. Interesting here, Kati cites the Gemara that says, actually, midah kedeh gabinda. If you don't believe in it, you don't get a share in it. Next one is vein Torah mishamayim. Someone says that the Torah is not divine. That is someone who ein lo chelek olam haba. And next is apikoros. What is an apikoros? The Bartanura simply says apikoros is someone who degrades talmidei chachamim. Or it degrades the Torah itself. Kati has a slightly broader set of actions or beliefs that would define one as an apikoros. That is someone who denies the existence of Hashem, who's machish benuvor, denies prophecy, who's kofir b'Torah Shabbat, denies the oral law, and who degrades the mo'adot, who's mechalel at the kodshim, desecrates the kodshim, I mean korbanot and the like. And anyone who brazenly does Aveirot, it says Biyad Rama, with force, I guess that is. Katiex elaborates, what does it mean by Biyad Rama? Sorry, it means if he does it in a public manner, in a heretical fashion, in order to cause anger. And someone also who denies the fact that there'll be a Zman Mashiach. All those people, the way Karti explains it, are ones that are defined as Apikoros has no Chalek Olam Haba. Rabbi Akiva says, Afa Korea B'Sfarim Hachitzonim. Also, Rabbi Akiva includes those people who read Sfarim Hachitzonim, the outer books. What are Sefer Hachitzonim? These refer to heretical texts. That specifically, Karti says, that's the Rif, that explain Torah Nevim, the Tanakh, Torah Nevim Ketuvim, according to whichever way they wish to understand it, not relying on Midrashei Chachamim and the Divrei Chazal. Next, Halochesh Alamaka, someone who has a wound, and he starts Lochesh, so he recites the Psukim over a wound in order to heal it. What's a Pasuk? Kol Machala Shasamti Mitzrayim Lasim Alecha. That any Machala that I placed in Mitzrayim, I will not place on you, because I'm your here, Ani Hashem Rofecha. The issue is that he would spit on the wound, as he would say in the Pasuk. What's the problem? Well, the Pasuk is he has Shem Hashem, so he's spitting as he's saying Shem Hashem. According to Rabbi Kiva, that would make someone have no Chalek Lo Amba. It's degrading to do so. And Abashul adds, Av Hoget Hashem Botiotav. Also, someone who expresses Hashem's name, says Hashem's name as it is written, meaning we don't say the Shem's name as it is written, we say it using a different replacement word. However, someone who says Hashem's explicit name as it is written, would also not have a Chalek Lo Amba. The Baal Tanura says this is the four-letter name that I was referring to that we see it written in the Torah. And as I said, I explained to you, we don't actually say it as it's written. When we say Hashem, Hashem, we say the Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, as opposed to the Yud, Hey, then followed by the Vav and the Hey. That name. Importantly, all these things, he doesn't have Chalek Olam if he doesn't do tshuva. If an individual regrets what he does, does full repentance, then he would have a Chalek Olam Haba. That was the Mishnah today.